Hello and welcome to the Securities Compliance Podcast presented by the National Society of Compliance Professionals, where it is our mission to help you put compliance in context. I'm your host, Patrick Hayes, partner at the Calfee Law Firm, and on today's show, we will be taking an in-depth look at one of the most talked about compliance items from the first half of 2025. Most notably, the two recently published FAQs to the SEC marketing rule. To help guide us through this conversation, we welcome back in Issa Hanna from Evershed Sutherland and Ted McCutcheon from Securities Law Counsel. To help guide us through this conversation, we welcome back in Issa Hanna from Evershed Sutherland and Ted McCutcheon from Securities Law Counsel. In our headline section, we review a recent denial from the SEC of an attempt by 16 firms to revise settlements they made with the commission regarding their supervision of employees' off-channel communications. And finally, we close up today with another installment of What's On My Mind, where another rock-solid quote from one of my favorite chefs and authors can help provide us in the compliance space with a little bit of satisfaction and peace of mind at this time of year. Moving into our headline section, the Securities and Exchange Commission recently denied an attempt by 16 firms to revise settlements they made with the commission regarding their supervision of employees' off-channel communications. According to the commission's order rejecting the request, the firms sought to modify their settlements to, quote, equalize them with what they claimed were less onerous settlement agreements reached with other firms at later dates. In September of 22, the SEC fined 15 broker-dealers and one investment advisor $1.1 billion to settle charges that they'd consistently failed to follow record-keeping requirements of business-related texts and other platforms like WhatsApp. The fined firms included some of the biggest names in the space. During the next several years, the commission continued to settle with firms for similar alleged lapses. In August 2024, the SEC actually fined 26 firms for a combined $392.75 million in penalties. According to the order released in mid-April, the 16 firms decried that the requirements in those later settlements differed from their own mandates. They asked the SEC to remove the requirement that they hire an independent compliance consultant for 2 years, replacing the demand with a one-time internal audit. The firms also wanted to remove the requirement that firms report all employee discipline regarding off-channel comms to the SEC for 2 years, and that firms adhere to these guidelines, which the firms claimed would lead to heightened FINRA supervision for 6 years. However, the SEC Enforcement Division denied the request, saying firms need to demonstrate, quote, compelling or extraordinary, end quote, circumstances to change a settlement, which the commission argued that the firms hadn't done here. According to the order, a firm's decision to settle early carries both an inherent risk and potential benefit. Though the settling party must act with relatively less information than those that settle later, it avoids the time and expense of further negotiation and litigation, the SEC order read. Settlers' remorse and a desire to revisit that risk calculus does not justify upsetting a final, agreed-upon, settled order. According to the SEC, the firms didn't argue that they met, quote, unforeseen obstacles when completing the mandates or that other changes made them impossible to complete. The only argument they made was that firms that settled later negotiated, quote, better settlement terms, which didn't suffice, in the eyes of the SEC, for the commission as a reason to modify their agreements. Notably, Commissioner Peirce disagreed, claiming that modifying the agreements would be a, quote, an unusual but warranted step. In her dissent, Commissioner Peirce argued that the aforementioned mandates in these firm settlement agreements were voluntary Commissioner Peirce argued that the aforementioned mandates in these firms' settlement agreements were voluntary in later settlements with other firms. In her dissent, Commissioner Peirce argued that the aforementioned mandates in these firm settlement agreements were then voluntary in later settlements with other firms, which she claimed made very little sense considering that the underlying violation was the same. Peirce also argued. Peirce also argued that some BDs would be subject to heightened FINRA supervision by the agreements, while the other firms, including standalone investment advisors, muni advisors, etc., were not. While she agreed that the settlers' remorse alone didn't justify overturning previously negotiated settlements, she believed that something more significant was happening here. Quote, "When the commission engages in enforcement sweeps that ensnare large numbers of firms across different parts of its regulatory ambit, it should endeavor to ensure both that the remedies it selects are commensurate to the conduct and that it imposes those remedies in a fair and even-handed manner across firms." Last week, the U.S. Senate confirmed. Recently, the U.S. Senate also confirmed Paul Atkins, President Donald Trump's choice as SEC chair, to lead the agency. Atkins is expected to steer the commission's enforcement priorities away from these types of supervisory failures, like the off-channel business communication settlements, into situations that are more directly involving investor harm. During the Investment Advisor Association's conference earlier this year, Commissioner Peirce also criticized the agency's approach in its WhatsApp-related settlement, suggesting the SEC revisit its related rules considering the breadth of charges brought by the commission in recent years. At that same conference, Corey Schuster, co-chief of the SEC's Enforcement Division's Asset Management Unit, said it was unlikely that there'd be a large number of enforcement actions related to off-channel communications, arguing essentially that the message had been sent, though he did expect to remain a focus on certain things during SEC examinations. At the same conference, Corey Schuster, a co-chief in the SEC's Enforcement Division's Asset Management Unit, said it was unlikely there would be a large number of enforcement actions related to off-channel communications, arguing that the message had effectively been sent, though he did expect it to probably remain a focus during SEC examinations. Shout out to wealthmanagement.com for providing much of the source material for this update.